Philippians chapter 4 is where we're going this morning. As you think of it as well, be in prayer for our brother Reynaldo. And I don't know if he's taking the whole family, so pray for the family as well. But be in prayer for him because he is out of town as well. He was participating in a service for a friend that passed away. I think he's down in Virginia or Pennsylvania, one of the places. So we do have some folks that are out and traveling. So please be in prayer for your brothers and sisters in Christ. Amen. Philippians chapter 4, verses 2 and 3. I really hope that you guys are there. If you're there, please say amen.
Amen.
Amen. All right, I'm excited about that. And I am there as well. Philippians chapter 4, verse 2 says, I beseech Euodias and beseech Syntyche that they be of the same mind in the Lord. And verse 3, I entreat thee also, true yoke fellow, help those women which labor in me in the gospel, with Clement also, and with other my fellow laborers, whose names are in the book of life. Heavenly Father, God, I want to thank you so much for this day. I thank you for your word, O Lord, and for the Sunday schools and all the things that we try to do, Lord, to learn more about you and to glorify you and honor you. But I pray here today that you would use me, O Lord. Speak through your word, O Lord God, and speak to our hearts. We need you, Lord. I need you, O Lord, that this message would come clearly to our people, O Lord, knowing how great you are and knowing, O Lord God, our position, how we ought to be humble before you. O Lord God, thank you so much for this day, and thank you for hearing our prayers. Be with our brothers that are away traveling right now. Bring them home safely when they come back home. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. Amen. So, the last time that I preached, we talked a little bit about laboring together. And we did Philippians chapter 4, verse 1. One verse. But this time we're doing two verses. So it's going to take twice as long. Put on your belts and get ready to go, guys. No. Praise the Lord. What this is just remembering that we work together. He calls them my true yoke fellow. You know what a yoke is used for? Is they use it and put it on the ox and the oxen so that they can work the fields. Well, that's what we're doing together. We work the field of salvation, the field of this world. Because the ground is very hard, there needs to be a plow put to it. And we are working together for that cause. Amen?
Amen.
So what we want to talk about today, as we see these two women, Euodias and Syntyche, I have a hard time saying that name, the blessings of ministering together, as well as the challenge of ministering together. Because there is a challenge that is put forth. You see, sometimes we disagree, and sometimes we have battles between each other. But we ought to remember a few things. Remember this: a friend loveth at all times, and a brother is born for adversity. A man that hath friends must show himself friendly, and there is a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. Remember as well, as the word says, Jesus said, henceforth I call you not servants, for the servant knoweth not what his Lord doeth, but I have called you friends. For all things that I have heard of my Father, I have made known unto you. And he also said, this is my commandment, that ye love one another, as I have loved you. Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. Ye are my friends, if ye do whatsoever I command you. My friends, my family, we are family. No, I'm not about to sing. But we have to realize that we truly are family. We do help each other out. And in a family, sometimes we get close together. And sometimes that close proximity does make us rub each other the wrong way.
Amen.
Right?
But does that mean that because Rachel might rub me the wrong way one day, I might just stick out my foot and trip her without saying anything?
Oh,
no. No way. You guys are looking at me like, you're going to be in trouble. Yes, I am.
I know, Rachel.
I know, right? That is not the way that we treat one another. Does that mean that I take my daughters and I try to set up little traps and tricks for them because they've gotten on my nerves? I ought not to do that. I ought to love on them because they are children of God as well. Amen?
Amen.
Well, when they know the Lord, they'll be children of God. But what a great blessing, my dear brothers and sisters, for me to be able to call you my brother and my sister. Oh, I hope you guys feel the same way too.
Amen.
Because it really is great to be able to work together. I've not been in the military, but I've heard of the bond that is created between men that work together that way. Mm-hmm. And there is, because they're in the trenches together. That's where that term comes from. They are arm in arm, bullets flying, and they depend on the one right next to them. Guess what, guys? We may not see those darts that that Satan and the enemy is shooting at us, but yet we still have an army, an arsenal coming against us.
Mm-hmm.
Why does it make any sense for us to do it alone?
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't. We got to do it together. Amen. I like
Amen.
That. We got to walk together. We got to talk together. We got to live together. Notice something. Philippians 2 verse 3 tells us this. Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem others better than themselves.
Amen.
That's what we are going to focus in on today. Humility. Humbleness. Jesus Christ had every right to be haughty and high-minded because the most powerful being in the world came to earth.
Mm-hmm.
But he came how? Humbly, lowly, meek, giving us an example to do the same thing. Paul, the apostle, he had every right as well. I am a Pharisee of the Pharisees, one of the most noblest. I am a Roman citizen. But yet he humbly surrendered to the calling of Jesus Christ, and he ended up dying for that same cause. Brothers and sisters, we ought to be willing to do the same thing one for another. We have to cast aside all thoughts of haughtiness, high-mindedness, and egotistical, sadistic ways that we have. We ought to be humble before the Lord. Don't we all serve the same master?
Amen.
You know, you have somebody sitting in front of you. You have somebody sitting maybe behind you. You have somebody to your right and to your left. Did you know that Jesus Christ died for them too?
Amen.
Amen.
And that the Lord, he calls them servant as well? That they are the apple of his eye just as well as you are?
Yeah.
I know apples are good, right? It's a tremendous thing. God really loves every single one of his people, so you got to remember that. I can't stick my foot out and trip my dear, wonderful, sweet wife. Happy Mother's Day, Rach. I can't do that. Because she has a father that is big. Bigger than any man that I know in this world. I'm talking about her heavenly father. I have to answer to him. Did you know that you also have to answer for your brother and sister right next to you? But I'm not married to them. You are united in the bond of Christ. Jesus' blood puts you together.
That's right.
Amen.
So as we consider and look at these two women, I want you to think of this. First off, Euodias and Syntyche. Syntyche, I think that's probably a better way. I don't know. And these two women the Lord has used in a mighty way. Don't get it wrong. As we're reading this here, we see that there's some disagreement between the two women. But guess what? Paul also says that these women are very useful in the gospel. So sometimes, friends, when we're working together, we are useful in the gospel, but we don't we disagree sometimes. Mm-hmm. We have a little friction between each other, right? Mm-hmm. In light of thinking of things of Mother's Day, God does use women in tremendous ways. Mm-hmm. Think of it, guys. It's funny how our culture today tries to say that the Bible is very how do you say that word? Macho, what's that?
Misogynistic.
Yeah, misogynistic. That's a great word too. It's not. Because God created Adam in the beginning and said, it's not good that you be alone. Mm-hmm. And he didn't make some crazy puppy. Mm-hmm. He didn't make this beautiful help dog. Yeah. Mm. He took out of the woman's, out of the man's side and made a woman. From the very beginning, God used women to be powerfully used in work of his ministry.
Amen.
Because they work together to do glorious things. You think of those two, that's in the very beginning. They call her help meet, and that doesn't belittle or make anything lower of her in her position. But there are many other women. You think of this in Jesus' time in his ministry. Who was it that when Jesus walked into a house, this woman comes and with her tears cleans his feet? You remember that? You didn't see Peter running over saying, hey, and trying to rub his feet, or even bringing a bucket to try to wash his feet. But this woman did. How about the two sisters? Jesus Christ is there in a home and he's speaking and teaching. And one sister is sitting down at the sweet feet of Jesus. And the other sister is in the back and she is doing and all, making all these things because she's got people in her home and she's trying to attend to them. Please don't get that story wrong either. Some of us think that Martha was doing the wrong thing. No, she wasn't. It's that her sister was doing the better part. That means what Martha was doing was good. Yeah, it's good to serve. Mm-hmm. But these women were all around Jesus and his ministry. And I know you remember, we just talked about the time of the resurrection. Who were the first ones at the tomb?
Oh, Peter and John.
Nope. Women. A group of women that went to go take care of the body if they could. They were going to find somebody, that guy that tended the garden, and get that stone moved out of the way so that they could go and tend to the body. They ministered to Jesus before he was crucified, for his crucifixion, and after.
Amen.
Woo!
Amen.
Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Jesus. That's right, girl. Jesus. You also have in the ministry of the disciples that women opened their homes and they trained up people. They trained up their young men. You remember Timothy, that his grandmother and his mother were very essential in his life. Okay? They gave much. They shared much. They prayed much. You see that all throughout the Bible. So these two women were ministering tremendously in a glorious way. But they did have something against each other. I don't think that Jesus said in vain in the beginning of his ministry that if you have your offering and you come and bring your offering up, but you have something against your brother, go and bring your offering anyways. Right? That's what the Bible says?
No.
Not at all. But why? Why not just, I don't want to talk to them. I'm just going to place my offering there. God, please accept this. I'm good. And then walk away. Not at all. You see, because our hearts aren't right. And remember, we are a functioning body. We are a living body working together. There is a deficiency in our body there, and we need to fix that deficiency so that we can work healthily in this world. Again, we're trying to plow very difficult ground. And it's very hard to do that when we are against each other, when we're beating heads. This is why Paul even mentions these two women. One, because they worked very hard together. But he's encouraging them, hey, have the same mind. Work together. We have the same Christ, the same faith, the same baptism. Let us work together for the same cause of Jesus Christ. Put aside our differences and walk in humility. We see as well, it talks about the book of life. When we think about the book of life in Revelations, it tells us this, that the book of life is before the throne of our Heavenly Father. Think about that. The book of life is before the throne of our Heavenly Father. That means that this book is kind of important, huh? Mm-hmm. What else does the scriptures tell us about this book of life? That book of life, we don't want to be blotted out of that book of life. According to Exodus 32:32 and Psalms 69:28, we don't want our name to be blotted out of that, to be erased, because it's before God. Shows who we are. But the neat thing is that as in Daniel 12:1 and Luke 12:20, it tells us that we want to have our names to be written in the book of life. How is that possible? And that's through Jesus Christ. Amen. I believe that God has a book of life that has every person's name written in it. And when that person does not accept Christ, their name is erased. The scripture says the name is blotted out of the book of life. Not that when they get saved, it was written in. Blotted out. But remember this, the most important piece is that your brother and sister that's sitting next to you, that's sitting in front of you, that may be in your homes, that where or wherever they are, brothers and sisters, they also have their name written in the book of life just like you do. Don't you think that God cares about them as much as he cares about you? This is why there in Philippians we remember that God is telling us to prefer one another. I call that one anothering. Prefer your brother before yourself. Prefer your sister before yourself. Daniel, I'm sure that if you guys, when your mom had her birthday cake and your mom said, Daniel, you can have the last piece, I'm sure that you looked at your siblings, your brother and your sister, and said, I'm going to split it with them. Mm. I probably wouldn't have done that. That's difficult. But that's kind of the idea that we have, is that we're trying to prefer others before ourselves. I find myself doing that sometimes at home. I mean, I can eat a lot, and I know that. So because I know I can eat a lot, if there's the last of something, I'll kind of pause and take a step or two back from it for a bit, because I want to give my wife a fighting chance to be able to get at least one piece. I have to think of her before, and I can't put that stuff aside. Really, brothers and sisters, we are yoke fellows. We are working together. We are trying to go to the same charge. So the very first thing that we see in these scriptures here is that we do indeed work together. There's a bond that we have as we work together. There's a few words that we see here. In Philippians 4:2, the word beseech. Beseech. Okay, in Philippians 4:3, the word entreat. Friends, if you don't care about the person that's sitting next to you, you won't beseech them. You won't entreat them. You'll care about yourself. You won't think, I want to see how I can better my brother or sister's walk or life in Christ. You'll say, I'm not even going to address this issue. And the issue that's going on here is that there's two sisters that are kind of at odds with each other. And these two sisters that are at odds with each other, first Paul encourages them, have the same mind. Remember, you're both written in the book of life. Remember that you are both together the apple of God's eye. He cares as much for you as he cares for you. But he also encourages the church around to build up and help each other. Right? When you see some issues at home, what do? Do you just let them fight it out? If you're a dad or a mom, you have to intervene, especially at a young age. You're teaching them how to deal with situations and deal with differences. Who here never has had a difference between somebody else, never disagreed with somebody before in their lives? Don't put your hand up, you're gonna lie. You're in church now.
I was just looking for the person to cast
that. Right, I know, right? Exactly. That's exactly what we're saying. I definitely am that person. And I can tell you, we all need the grace of God. So when we put it in that perspective, we paint that picture that we are all together in the same boat. It's kind of funny. And sad. It's sad how we speak evil of each other. We may even cuss out a brother or sister in the Lord because, oh, you stepped on my toes here. You did this and you did that. It's like, no wonder why the world has a hard time looking into the church, because every time they look, all they see is bicker, 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 yell, because they don't see none of the good stuff. We can do some great, good things and love on each other like the Lord says. But as soon as we turn around and we're like, let me tell you, sister, guess what happens? The world looks in and says, that's exactly why I don't go to church. All we have to do is do it once.
Amen.
Hopefully they'll be able to see the other thing. And I think of this, my wife and I talk often about, like, when I fail and I fall, my daughters, if they get to see that, when they will get to see it. Mm-hmm. I'm sorry, girls. When they see it, I need to go before them too, and they need to see me get it right, because that's healthy for them. They see how to work through issues. I'm not going to hide it from them.
Your dad is a pastor. He is sinless.
Please. Yeah, right. I'm the chief sinner of my household. Come on. You kidding me? But yet, they'll see that. And if I try to hide anything, they see right through it. How many of you guys remember seeing right through your parents when they tried to hide stuff from you?
Yep. Yes.
It didn't work, did it? So they ought to be able to see the good. But that's why this world needs to see that from us as well. That we honestly, truly, in the Lord, do work together. And when we do have these issues with each other, these little problems, you know what we do? We go and we ask for forgiveness. We go to our brother and our sister. We don't wait for somebody else to come and tell us to do it. I've got the problem. I'm going to that brother and sister. I see a problem because I'm part of the body, and because it's really bothering me, I'm going to go tell Pastor about it. Nope. Don't come tell me about it when you saw it. You have the same Holy Spirit in you.
Mm-hmm.
Pick up the Bible.
That conviction.
And just say, this is wrong.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But how do you do that, though? Let's go to Galatians chapter 6 really quick. Galatians chapter 6. You guys are looking and saying, man, I thought this was going to be a Mother's Day message. The Lord knows what he's doing. I did mention two women, right?
Yeah.
Yes.
And the Lord is working through those two women still today.
Amen.
Galatians chapter 6, look at verse 1. It says, brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, I have that underlined in my Bible, and then I have this double underline, restore such an one in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted. You know, written all over these scriptures, painted throughout the whole thing, is the humbleness and meekness of Jesus Christ. If we are his body, it would be very weird. You ever seen those cooties, the cootie game?
Yeah.
Right? And everybody, there was always that one that wanted to make the head, the body, the legs, you know, the head and the body at least all the same color.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Then there was the ones who was like, they can't be the same color. This one has to, the green one has to go with the purple. The purple one has to go with the yellow, you know. They wanted to put all that stuff together. Do you guys know what I'm talking about? There was a crazy game back in the days, man, that we would put these little things together. I have no idea what the purpose of the game was, honestly. I think it was to make some people upset that you're not doing it the way I want you to do it. But see, the thing is that when we are spiritually minded, we remember that, look, maybe this person has a point, that they need to put it that way. They need to put the green body with the red head, you know? And this one that needs to have the purple head with the purple body, that's okay. Because brothers and sisters, my way is not always the best way. Your way is not always the best way. But I'm also not always wrong. And you're also not always wrong. Huh? I'm not trying to think and paint the idea of this world's mentality. What I'm saying is, God has made each and every single one of us with different gifts in the body of Christ. And we got to be able to exercise those gifts. Otherwise, we get spiritually flimsy and weak. We become Mr. Noodleman. We can't stand up strong. If we are to be these people to confront and to help to build brothers and sisters back up together, check yourself. You have to be doing it spiritually in a humble position. I'm telling you this. I mean, that's great. You can come up with as much authority as you want to, but many people shut down when you do that. And remember, we're on the same boat. Why did Jesus Christ say, take care of the big beam in your eye before you help a brother with the little speck in their eye? Because to us, that's a big problem. I'm going to go, and then you start speaking evil of them. You may even go talk to other people about them and do all these different things. No, no. In humbleness, in Christ-likeness, seek a way to restore. There's certain things, when once you break them, you can't put them back together. Okay? But if you could put them back together, do you put, like, if you broke a spoon, right? The best way to try to maybe work that thing out is if you had somebody that could work metal. They melt that bad boy and do whoop, whoop, and put it back together. But what if you keep, I'm going to put it back together. I'm going to just keep twisting it and making it break even more. That don't make any sense, but that's what we do to each other as brothers and sisters in Christ sometimes. Because we get very selfish. Every man seeks his own. And we shouldn't do that. We need to love each other, right, Rosie? We need to help each other and lift each other up. I don't want to see nobody falling like my brother Bob, man. I don't want to see him fall. I'm going to try to help him out. I'm not going to look at him while he's on the ground and be like, can you get up, brother? And then push him back down when he's trying to get up. I mean, that's what we do sometimes, though. That's exactly what we do sometimes. Because we come in the wrong spirit. We don't come filled with the Holy Spirit. Amen? Then, when we have that right humility, verse 2 says, bear ye one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. We can really be a help to each other. So those two women that are battling against each other, if I can step and help, because there actually is I'm involved in this thing, sometimes you got to step back and let the people work it out. Hey, did you go and work this out with them yet? I mean, really, a lot of times these things are so small. Think of many arguments. Think of the last argument that you had with somebody. Was it really that important that you won? I think sometimes more we just want to win. It's not about whatever it was about, because you probably can't even remember what it was about. Right? The second thing, not only do we work together as yoke fellows, but we sometimes disagree, as we've already seen. At times we disagree with each other because we're so close to each other. Think of this, scientifically speaking, if I take my hands and I put them together and I start to rub them, what happens? Ooh, you said the word, and you said another word, friction. And because of friction, it gets hot. Well, praise the Lord, I need to do that more because my hands are always cold. When we walk together close. We're part of a body. The body is not separated over here and over there. We walk in close proximity. When we do ministry things together, we walk in close proximity. This building is only a certain size. And when we do things together, sometimes this happens, which can be good because this thing can warm us up and it can build us up together. But it also can cause some issues And when it causes issues, guess what? That's when you go before your brother and your sister and you humble yourself. I've offended you. Please forgive me. Mm-hmm. Now I want you to think to yourself, don't answer out loud. Have you done that before? You ever gone to somebody and said, I've offended you, please forgive me?
Amen. Amen.
That's a difficult question to answer because it's hard to do.
Mm-hmm.
It's hard to do. Now, we could put another solution. I'm going to try to warm my hands again. Let's see if this works, guys. Ready? Is it working?
No.
Is it working? Maybe because my blood is actually flowing, so now it's working a little bit better. But it doesn't work the same as doing this.
Right.
My hands being so far apart, brothers, guess what?
Cold.
It's not going to produce the heat on my hands that I'm looking for. I might start getting my blood flowing better. But that's about it. What the Lord is looking for in us is that we work together. And when we work together, we know that there's friction. And when there's friction, we know that there is a trying of the faith. And when there's a trying of the faith, we know that there's a building up. And when there's a building up, we know that Christ is edified.
Mm-hmm.
Amen.
Amen.
Exciting, right? It's kind of like that song there. Although I didn't do as fast as what that song was. That one song, man, it's like the words were so fast and jump, but I'm like, man, who writes these hymns? I love them, man, but some of them, the words are, you got to sing it so fast, Sister Jane. How did they do that? I don't know. We do that sometimes. We do disagree. We do have disputes. When we do that, it's because of the pride that we have. Look really quickly at James chapter 4. James chapter 4. James chapter 4. So while you guys are there in James chapter 4, I'm going to read something here quickly. Long as I can do it. Yep. In Proverbs 16:18. Listen to what the Bible says. Pride goeth before destruction, and an haughty spirit before a fall. Remember that when we have that contention and stuff building up, it's pride. It is pride, pride, pride. Agree with God. That is wrong, and we need to fix it. Let's look at James 4. You guys are already there. James 4, verse 1, it says, from whence come wars and fightings among you? Come they not hence even of your own lusts that warn your members? Ye lust and ye have not, ye kill and desire to have and cannot obtain. Ye fight and war, yet ye have not because ye ask not. And ye ask not. And you ask and receive not because ye ask amiss, that ye may consume it from what?
Lust.
Of your own lust. There's that selfishness again. And look at what this says in 4. Ye adulterers and adulteresses, know ye not that the friendship of this world is enmity with God? Whosoever therefore will be a friend of the world is an enemy of God. Do you think that the scripture saith in vain, the spirit that dwelleth in us lusteth to envy? Do you know that envy is something that constantly craves for more? It does, right?
Well,
it craves for more.
Why are we not supposed to love the world? I thought God created us.
Oh yeah, we'll get to that one. It craves for more. Think of this, guys. Okay? Wasn't it not from envy that Cain killed Abel?
Yep.
Yeah.
All right? And that talking about loving the world, it's not saying that we're loving them to Christ. It's saying, I love all the stuff that they're doing. I want to do all the evil that they're doing. That's what that's saying. We don't want to embrace and live in that worry. We want to live like Jesus did. He came and he loved the world because he went to the poor. He went to the needy. He went to anybody that would. He would heal them. He fed them. He clothed them. He did all of these different things. And he showed them, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes into the Father but by me. He loved the world that way. But we're not to love the world any other way. Because Jesus could have came in the world and partying it up and be like, hey, I'm God, guys. Look, you guys want to see some shooting stars ready? Boom, 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 shooting stars. God, he didn't do that. He had the power to do that, but he's not going to abuse the authority like that.
Mm-hmm.
nor was he here to show that that stuff had any validity or is it anything important. What's important is that we work together so that the end goal we can, this world can attain, if they would only believe, that's trust in Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. We war because of that lust and that envy that's in our hearts. And it builds and it craves and it desires and it wants. This is why there's wars in this world. I mean,
addiction too.
Yeah, why are any of these wars that we see that goes on or that are going on currently going on? Why? Because of land? Because of money? That's greed. Who in the world cares? There's other ways to settle those different things. But yet, they'd rather fight it out. But that ought not to be us in the church. We ought not to be like, hey, man, you know, Brother Floyd is doing real good here, man. It's like, I'm going to have to go slash his tires real quick. No, that doesn't make any sense. When we see a brother or sister doing well in the Lord, they're starting to get on their feet. Things are starting to go really well for them. The Lord is providing and providing constantly. We ought to applaud God and be thankful together with them. Amen. We should be rejoicing together. Just like when somebody that is a sinner comes to get saved, oh man, you better be jumping up and down. You better get excited, even if it's on the inside.
All right.
We have to know that we are in this together. Do you know you're in it together?
Amen.
All right, only two of you know that you're in it together. That's at least two. We get a little bit more. Do you know you're in this together?
Yes.
All right, good. We got a lot more of you now. Amen. We are all in this together. I hope that's what we see. And even though there may have been a dispute here and there over the years, guess what? We can still work together. We can still do the work that the Lord has called us to do because he's called us to do it. The third part and the last is this. My brothers and sisters, I implore you. That's another one of those words like beseech and entreat. I really pray and hope that all of you, and me included, especially me, can live humbly before one another, preferring one another. That's the only way that we can make this happen. I'm sure in working in a business, brother, humility goes a very long way, right? From testimony, I'm sure. Oh my goodness. And just from testimony, brother, I've talked to different people that I've seen in the mall or at the public market and so on, and they just love your place. But why? Because they love the people there. You guys are so loving and kind to people that are there. When you're serving empanadas, you're serving up a service of love. It's really sweet. Think about that. When you're at work, do you do the same thing? Are you serving up love to people? Encouraging people in your workplace and the place where you live? Do you care about your neighbor? That's where we can love the world. If you saw your neighbor had a flat tire, would you just be like, I'm going to be late, I got to go? Sometimes you might not be able to. But if you had the time, would you? That person isn't saved. Yeah, they're probably going to stay that way too if you never reach out to them. Just saying. The Lord, I look at that as, you know, God's appointed times that he's given me an opportunity to speak to my neighbor. I've been praying and praying. Oh, here he goes. He's stuck on the side of the road. Hey, how's it going? We're not going anywhere for a while. I'll try to help you out. And while I'm helping, let's talk a little bit about Christ. What a great blessing. Amen?
Amen.
I implore you, walk humbly. Live righteously, work together in Christ's name, be willing to do something in a different way, let another brother succeed in Christ, and put yourself to the side. Surrender to serve and love each other. At the end of 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 7, Paul writes to us, "Why do you not rather take wrong? Why do you not rather suffer yourselves to be defrauded?" Do you know what that means? And I'm going to close with these remarks here, but when I was working as an engineer, there was this this coworker that I had, that he came all hot and bothered. Really what it was, he was stressed. That's usually what happens. But he came all hot and bothered. He had some work for me to do because I was doing CAD design of buildings and so on. And here he comes. You gotta stop whatever you're doing. Boom, and threw the papers down. And I need you to do this. My stuff is more important. Me. And nah, nah, nah. And he's yelling at me and so on. And I'm just sitting there like, okay. He says, but this one, the boss said it. He said, well, this one is way, way more important. And then I says, I'm going to get right to it. You got it, man. You know? Day goes by, all the work is done, and I did the best of work that I could do. And this brother comes in the same day. Well, he's not a believer, so I can't say brother. He comes to me, and he's like, Craig, I got to say something. I'm sorry. I shouldn't have talked to you that way. He's not a believer. You hear this? He's not a believer. I shouldn't have talked to you that way. I was really out of line. Will you please forgive me? Well, blew my mind. Friends, we're going to have moments when we're stressed out and things get crazy and we may say things that we ought not to. But can we allow ourselves, you know, if we're the ones receiving it, allow yourself to be defrauded? I mean, are you willing to just let stuff go? Let stuff slide? Like, I'm like a duck, man. You know, stuff just slide right off my back. I'm good. Are we willing to allow ourselves to be defrauded? You know what that means? You go before the judge in court, and they're trying to convict you of something that you didn't do. But yet, if you allow it to go, then somebody else is going to benefit for a positive thing. Sounds weird.
Yeah.
Would you let it go? That's what Paul is telling us to do. That's what Paul is telling us to do. Because don't forget, there's another courtroom situation where you were involved. You walked in. You were guilty as can be. The judge is sitting there looking at you with his dark eyes, ready to pass judgment on you. And then somebody stood up and comes up to the judge, and he looks the judge in the eye. Please, I know that this man is guilty, but yet I will take all of his blame. Jesus Christ did the ultimate in allowing himself to be defrauded. We ought to be able to do the same for one another. For the little things that we argue and complain about that absolutely are meaningless, because we will forget them years to come.